A look inside Everbank Field as the Jags prepare for week 4 in the National Football League. They won't play in this stadium for a while, though. It's the second of a 3-game road trip coming up this Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osier. Plenty to get to today. Divisional play about to get underway. We'll hear from the Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles right after the walkthrough. He'll speak with the media. And Dan Skuda, Jaguars linebacker, brought on in free agency this past offseason. He'll join us here on set after Blake's press conference as well. You can get in on the show at JP Shadrick, at John Osier, at Jaguars as well. We'll take some social media questions for Dan Skuda coming up a little bit later. John,
that'll be good, Skuda.
He should be, yeah.
He's always good and having a good year so far. Good free agency signing.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Well done, John. Thanks. I got to ask you, though, before we get started, the Ozo mailbag was up this morning, John, before we get to the football.
Yeah.
Where's your karate bandana?
Well, I was at home. It's actually my son's karate bandana from about 10 years ago.
You know, don't put it on him.
But I do like it.
No, it's interesting.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Let's get to the ball now. Of course, the Jags are trying to bounce back from the loss in New England, 51-17 final. But you got to move forward, as they did from week 1 to week 2. Do you expect that kind of a bounce back this week?
Well, yeah, and I think, I guess a bit unfortunately, it's a pretty similar theme. They are now at 1-2. They were 0-1 before, and they need a bounce back not only to get the record at 2-2, not only to stay in first place in the South, but, again, to verify what they believe they are and what people around this team believe they are. I know fans get frustrated when they say they're not defined by a 34-point loss. It's an awful loss. It's an awful day, awful feeling. But the next 3 weeks and what they do right now, in reality, really is going to define what this is all about, where they are. And for that reason, I think the next 3 weeks, you're playing teams that are combined 3-6. You're 1-2. There shouldn't be a huge differential. It shouldn't be a case where you can't compete.
Right.
So I think the next 3 weeks are, especially for this season, absolutely huge for this team.
It starts with the defense this week. They've got to pick up the pieces from giving up 51, the most points the Jaguars have ever allowed in a game in the franchise history. So you got to do that against Andrew Luck, a guy who really hasn't had the best start this season, mm-hmm. especially the first two games. He rallied that team for a win last week. They got some turnovers to help him. But that was really his best performance of the year so far. Statistically, not a good start at all for Andrew Luck.
Well, and he has been, in one sense, struggling for a little while now. Part of it is the offensive line. He's had more turnovers than you would expect out of an elite quarterback. At the same time, as that comes out of your mouth, you think about all the times that he comes through in the clutch. You think about the fact that he brings this team back. He gets them in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's an elite guy. So it almost sounds funny to say that he's struggling when the fact is that he is still a guy who, when the game's on the line and you need a guy to get it done, he's still one of those guys. So I really can't sit here and say that when I look at quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, that I see any sort of a liability there. He is still one of the guys that can create magic late in the game. As far as the Jaguars' defense, I don't know that there's going to be that much of a confidence or that much of a worry issue coming out of the Patriots game.
Okay.
If you look at the first half of that game, until the Blake Bortles interception, they gave up 13 points. And they had done a decent job keeping the Patriots out of the end zone. Before the Bortles interception and before the two safeties were the fourth and fifth guy, mm-hmm. it didn't feel like a disastrous game. So as much as fans see 51 points and as much as the fact they didn't get them off the field at all for 9 possessions is bothersome, and that should bother fans, once they get into game planning, once they take a look at that, I don't think that performance is going to affect the psyche, affect how it happens. So certainly not good, but don't think it necessarily has to be a long-term impact sort of game, what happened last week in New England.
And we'll look forward to hearing from Dan Skuda about that coming up here on Jaguars.com Live. You mentioned it, though, the back end of this defense was down to fourth, fifth, sixth
yeah.
guys. That'll be a topic today. Who's back, who's healthy, who's out this week?
Yeah.
That's something to watch, especially on defense.
And that's a couple of weeks in a row. If you recall, against Miami, there were times you were down to Nick Marshall and Peyton Thompson at corner, and that's your fourth, fifth, sixth guy. Same thing as safety last week. So in the NFL, when you're playing usually pretty good passers every week, you don't want to be down that far. I don't think you're going to see them down quite so far in the game. My anticipation is that Jonathan Cyprian plays. We're waiting on the news about Sergio Brown, right. But I didn't get the feeling that was a long-term deal, so it wouldn't be surprising if he plays. But no matter who's in the game, even if those guys weren't in, and if you had Peyton Thompson and I'm drawing a blank now. We're so far down the list. James Sample.
Sample,
you had those guys in, I don't think you're necessarily as hamstrung if those guys even have to start. Because a part of the issue the other day is you're putting these guys in and they hadn't had the practice work. So there's a limit to what you can do defensively in the second half because mm-hmm. the guys are so new. They'll prepare these guys if they're starting. They'll be prepared for what's going to happen in Indy. So I don't think you'll be quite as hamstrung with what you can do, no matter who's in the game.
Something to watch this week for sure. Let's move to offense now. We're awaiting Blake Bortles' press conference on Wednesday. He'll speak to the media when the team comes off the field from walkthrough. That's scheduled for 11:55. We'll show that to you live, and then Dan Skuda coming up. So let's go to offense now. Speaking of injuries, could see Luke Jokel maybe mm-hmm. back on the field this week and help that offensive line a little and in turn help Blake in the backfield.
And that's news, of course, we're waiting on. And if you watched Luke Jokel warm up a little bit the other day, wouldn't be surprising if after three or four more days, if he's able to go. I think Luke Jokel would help this offensive line because he's a good run blocker. And that's something that they want to get going. Yeah. But I really don't think that, if you look at the last couple of games, the offensive line hasn't been a huge issue. Okay. I don't think that's it'd be great to get Jokel back. I think it would help in the run game. But there are certainly other issues that are more concerning. Most notably, I think this offense with Blake Bortles needs to take a step up from where it's been the first couple of games. Very good week two. Week one and three, not so much. This team needs consistency out of that position. And that's going to continue to be a storyline. Young guys struggling a little bit, not shocking, but at some point that's got to get going, and it's just something you got to watch because it's so important right now.
The ups and downs are what have defined the Jags so far in offense. Mm-hmm. The not so great in week one, really good outing in week two, not so great, inconsistent last week. It's a matter of making that week to week kind of getting better and better. Right?
Well, it is, and it's starting quarterback and a young top five quarterback is going to get picked apart. And it's so difficult because every drive is going to get picked apart. And when you're trying to look at a gradual curve, that's hard to do during the season. By any measure, Blake is much better than he was last year. The offense is showing more signs of consistent drives. He's using people better. And yet, because you want to see such great growth, every interception is, oh, that's the same thing we saw last year. So far, it's not. So far, there's improvement. But I think he'd be the first guy to tell you it's got to become more consistent. You've got to make the big play. And you can't have that one glaring error like the overthrow to Mercedes the other day where you're like, oh, my goodness, and that takes the air out of the sails. So it's tough as a young quarterback. He's getting better, but that progression has to keep going because you've got to see better things because that quarterback position, it's everything.
You mentioned the run game for a moment. That'll help, too, if they can get that ball rolling a little mm-hmm. bit. They just couldn't last week. They put an extra man in the box, and the Jags didn't get much done on the ground. They want to get TJ going. Toby Gerhart is full and should be good to go this week again. That was at least the word on Monday. Bernard Pierce has a history against Indy. That was many moons ago when he had a 100-yard game in the playoffs against them. But there are guys that research.
How about you?
Yeah. So they have some guys that have the ability to get the run game mm-hmm. going. It's just a matter of getting it going with that line and just getting the ball rolling somehow. Right?
Well, a couple things with the run game. The eye test with the running game, if you go back and look at stuff, I don't think it's been ineffective. Very hard to run when you're down by 30 points like they were the other day. You're just not going to use it. And it feels like the running game has had some glimpses of getting going. And I certainly think that Greg Olsen, Doug Marrone, they're not going to give up on the running game. They're going to be diligent about it. And when you do that, when you've got good offensive linemen up front, which they feel like they do, at some point you get it going. It takes longer at that position to get continuity. T.J. Yeldon's a young running back who should get more of a feel as you go along. So it feels like something that they're going to keep working on. It feels like something that's close and that you're seeing a natural growth progression right now. What would also help is passing game get good enough where you can't put that eighth man in the box you're talking about. And all of a sudden, when you have that eighth man in the box, then you can get that one pop run for 25 yards. You're looking at the stats and thinking, oh, pretty good. Well, if you don't have that, then all you're thinking about is the clogging. Then all you're thinking about is the one for two. So it all works hand in hand. A better passing game would certainly certainly bring about a better situation for some of the things we're talking about with the running game to improve.
We're a few minutes away from Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, scheduled for 11:55. We'll carry that live right here on Jaguars.com Live. And then Dan Scuda, Jaguars linebacker, scheduled to join us here on set as well to talk about the defense and how they move forward against Indianapolis this week. What do you want to hear from the quarterback today, John?
Well, I think generally what I expect to hear is he's going to say they need to get back to what they were against Miami. And he'll be asked about the interception. It'll be back now to some fundamental stuff because there's going to be people who say that he's not throwing it accurate enough, and all that's true. So I expect him to be pretty forthcoming like he always is.
Sure.
So like we said, it's always interesting to hear Blake talk about this. I hesitate to pick too much out of each press conference right now because you're on such a week-to-week thing that it's going to be hard to get this overarching, as it were, grade every week. I don't think we can really expect that. I expect him to be confident. I expect him to believe they need to improve, which they do. So, you know, your typical Wednesday press conference stuff. But I'll be there listening.
I know you would. We'll have it live right here coming up. The Jags are on the field right now for a walkthrough. They'll come right off, and that'll get underway. Hey, divisional play. That's going to be a storyline this week, too. Everybody in the division's 1-2. Everything's ahead of this Jaguars team still. You're going into Indy. Haven't beaten Indy since Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell have been here. So if you got to get through the division, it starts with the Indianapolis Colts, right?
Yeah, and it's not a team, as everybody knows, who looks right now like a juggernaut. So on paper, it seems like a game that the Jaguars should be able to go up and not expect to be at a huge competitive disadvantage. I mean, that's where this team should be right now. So at the same time, if you're the Jaguars right now, you haven't played well that another team is going to played well enough that another team is going to come up and say, boy, we're intimidated by the Jaguars. There's still a small margin for error for this team. With the injuries, they have to make plays when they're there, and they have to make the plays that count. Allen Robinson needs to play big. Mercedes Lewis needs to make some, you know, all the guys we've always talked about. It's just not a team that's going to get away from you right now. The Jaguars aren't yet. So if they're going to win, they have to make plays when they mattered. And more than anything, if you get turnovers off luck, score touchdowns off the turnovers. Take advantage of it. Get the lead.
Let's go down the hall. Blake Bortles speaking with the media on a Wednesday.
It begins. What's going on?
What's up? Hey, Blake, the numbers so far this year say that when your running game is strong, the offense is in general, you are specifically. And the two games where it wasn't, the numbers aren't as good.
Yeah.
Specifically for you, what does the running game do?
Yeah, I think it just allows you to do more things in the pass game. You know, it obviously you're able to run the ball well. It opens up a lot more with play action and stuff like that. But, you know, as a quarterback, you want to be able to have the passing game going no matter what's going on with the running game. Obviously, you want both to go and have your full offense in effect. But, I mean, there's days when the run game's not, you know, up to par, and there's days where the pass game isn't. So I think being able to work together and have, you know, one pick the other up is big.
Does the running game though play to your strengths in particular, the rollouts and the movement?
I think it's a part of who we are. It's a part of our offense. It's part of what we do. So obviously, you know, with those things, anytime we're running the ball good, those things are going to be more effective.
What's your familiarity with Indianapolis, having faced them a couple times last year?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, being a divisional opponent, their team you're going to see twice a year, you know, for as long as we're in this division and here in Jacksonville. But I think that's kind of, you know, last year was new, right? You're coming from college, you never played a team more than once. So it was cool to see that. You get familiarity with them. You're able to go through a week of preparation. And then, you know, when you see them again, go back and you know, look at that, you know, all the notes and the plan you guys had in for that week and kind of revisit that. So I think there is, you know, there's some familiarity, you know, between the two teams as far as the amount of times we faced them. You know, obviously they'll have some guys coming back that haven't played a whole lot in the beginning of the season. But I think it'll be good. I think we'll have a good plan and a good week of preparation.
Are you getting rapport with Hearns now?
Yeah. I mean, I think Hearns is a guy that, you know, I was able to build chemistry with early, you know, last year and kind of carried it into the offseason and into the season. You know, he's a guy that's reliable. He's a smart football player. He's a tough guy. And he's always in the right spot, you know, where he needs to be.
This is, I know it's your second year, but I guess you can kind of start for 16 full games now. Can you go back to that your first start? And do you remember what that emotion was like going through and how different you are now just in terms of preparation?
You know, I think similar feeling, but I think way more prepared going into games now than I was, you know, I guess 16 games ago. You know, feel a lot more prepared. You know, I think just a better weekly routine of how to prepare and, you know, a better process has been kind of put together. But I mean, it's still, you know, every week and every opportunity you get to go play is exciting. No matter if it's your first or your last, you know, it's an awesome feeling to be able to go play, you know, football on Sundays.
How good is Vontae Davis in coverage? I mean, how dangerous is it to test him?
Right. You know, I think he's a good player. He's obviously solid. You know, he's a guy that's been around. He's seen a lot of football. You know, I think he's got freaky athletic ability. And, you know, somebody you got to be aware of. But I think we match up well. I think Allen and Hearns and our guys outside do a good job of creating separation and running good routes and getting open. So, you know, he's not a guy that we're going to, you know, stay away from. You know, but he is a really good player and somebody you got to, you know, have awareness of.
Gus said you have to keep things simple. Maybe Sunday you were trying to impress it too much to Mercedes instead of...
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, I think that's definitely the view on the interception, right? You know, trying to throw a ball to Mercedes, and miss the throw, you know, and then there's so many other things, especially with Mercedes not getting a lot of catches this season that you could kind of pinpoint that to. But really, I mean, I probably would have thrown it if it was anybody running the route. It didn't really matter. You know, and it was a bad read and a bad throw, you know, to kind of compound it. So, you know, it's all go through the reads and the progressions within each play. And, you know, we do a lot of stuff to make Mercedes the first and second read, you know, to get him the ball. You know, so we'll continue to do that stuff. But, you know, we're not going to go outside of our offense and outside of the progressions and schemes, you know, I think to get him the ball.
How much does the blowout loss to New England, if any, fuel any kind of edge with the locker room this week? Or do you think it's really immaterial?
Yeah, you know, I think it's over and done with. I think guys came in Monday, Tuesday, you know, took what they could out of the game and moved on. You know, there's not a whole lot to say. You know, you get killed like that. You take what you can out of it and you move on. You know, you can't let that kind of hang around and mess with you. So I think guys have done a good job of that. I think, you know, guys have moved on and they're ready and they're into their preparation for Indianapolis.
Indy's won 13 in a row in the division. How impressive is that streak and how nice would it be to be the team that kind of stops that thing?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's super impressive. You know, anytime you're able to win 13 games in a row, I think within a division in the NFL, it's unbelievable. So I think they've done a good job, you know, being consistent. But, you know, I think we match up well. I think it's a good opportunity. And I know, you know, our guys are excited for this week.
It's early. It'll be early October, and so you don't want to place too much importance on the game. But the way the South is setting up, it would seem like there's a little heightened sense of what this game could be, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we take every game, you know, I think with the same approach. But obviously when you get inside your division and start divisional play, you know, I think, you know, the ante gets upped a little bit, you know, because they mean a little bit more. You know, not to say that, you know, no game is more important than the other, but it is a divisional game and we understand that. But I mean, guys are going to go through and prepare and do everything the same. You know, guys aren't going to press, you know, because it's the first divisional game and because it's the Indianapolis Colts.
How close are you guys from being able to win a shootout? kind of game if the Colts are able to put up 33 like they did last week.
I think we're a couple things away. You know, I think Gus talks about precision, and Ole harps on it as well. I think, you know, we're a play here or there, a missed assignment here or there, away from being able to constantly score points. You know, I think we kind of eliminate the self-inflicting errors and wounds, and we'll be able to put up a ton of points. I really do think we're right there.
Is it tough to travel for a bad read and a bad throw? How do you deal with
that afterwards? You know, you got to move on and forget about it. You know, it was a bad play. You know, cost us momentum and points going into halftime, and then kind of swayed in their favor. But you can't sit there and dwell on it. You move on. You look at the tape. You know, take what you can from it, and try not to replicate it.
Do you think it affected the play after that?
No, not at all. You know, I was able to move on and forget about it.
How tough is it to travel 3 games in a row? And especially with this game coming up being a divisional matchup, how hard is it to kind of get comfortable when you're traveling so much and coming back and forth?
Right. Yeah, it's part of it. You know, I think we do a good job, and everybody has their own routine of how they handle away games. You know, obviously you want to play at home. You want to be comfortable. You want to play in front of your own fans and in your own stadium. But it's part of it. You know, we understand that and get that, and I think the guys do a good job. You know, and Gus does a good job as well as putting together a plan and, you know, how the weekend's going to be played out. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
The Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles live here on Jaguars.com, and we're live with Dan Scooter now, Jaguars linebacker. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
It was a walkthrough, right? You just came right off the field today. Mm-hmm, everybody's – you guys, let's take us through those walkthroughs, right? Is it – how do you get energized for a walkthrough, I guess?
Well, it's the first thing you're doing after the last game. So, to me – it's just getting on track in a good way, having good energy, and starting out the week right, really, is how I see it. So, to me, that's enough to make me energized.
That makes the whole team going, too. Moving forward from last week, let's briefly touch on last week's game. What do you take away from that game that you can use moving forward?
Really just for people to stay within themselves. You know, a few times guys are trying to do a little too much, and you know, just be us and play our defense, and you know, don't alter from that.
Importance of division games. You're going in the division for the first time, the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. I mean, you've been around the league a couple of different places. These are as big as it gets, man. You got to get these division games, right?
Absolutely, and on the road it's going to be tough. So we need this game, and we got to come out there with a W and come out strong and really show them what our defense and our team's about.
You have a very slight history against Indy, but I don't think you were credited with a tackle in the game. 2013 at Candlestick, 49ers, Colts. They pounded the ball that day and got a win. I don't know what your role was in that game, but it's many moons ago now. But do you remember that game at all?
Yeah, that was one of my first games with the 49ers, mostly special teams for me at that point, and developed more into a defensive player later in that year.
It's a different feel in offense. Now, what's the difference from then, looking at tape back then, if you remember, to what Indy does right now? What do they do?
They were more of a 13, a lot of tight ends, extra linemen, and pounding the ball. A little more spread. I think with the development of Luck, they've turned more to that and to a passing game. So, yeah, it's definitely changed.
Tell us about Andrew Luck a little bit. What characteristics make him play so well? What's he do well on offense?
Well, as you can tell watching him, he's a great leader. Everyone looks to him on that offense. A lot of confidence in him. And he just really has the offense mastered. And he does a great job of moving around. I wouldn't say he's the most athletic guy I've seen, but he's athletic enough to get it done. He can take off and run. And, you know, he does a lot of good things well. So,
Dan Scooter is with us, Jaguars linebacker. This is Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Glad you're with us today. How do you guys get some pressure? Last week, obviously, you know, Brady gets the ball out quick, and that was part of the issue last week. But how do you get to Andrew Luck? There is a history of getting to Luck in this series between Jacksonville and Indianapolis.
Along with being athletic, he's a guy that'll hang on to the ball for you. And that didn't really happen last week. Tom was getting it out early, and you know, I came free a few times and it didn't even matter. But the idea this week is just stay after it and do what we've been doing. You know, if the guy hangs on to the ball last week, we're gonna get a lot of sacks. So I think it'll be similar this week. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Gus said the identity of this defense is to play press outside, get pressure with four guys, and then in passing situations maybe send a fifth. It's a pretty simple outlook for this defense. Do what you do and do it well, right? That's the idea behind this.
Yeah, and like I said, that's what we want to get back to this week. So
yeah, I'll look forward to that this Sunday. Well, I talked to you a few weeks ago about the Saxonville thing. You guys are starting that with the shirts, and that's starting to grow a little bit now, right? Speaking of Sax.
Yeah, it's moving along. It's been a little bit of a slow start, but now with the team behind us, I think it's really going to be good. It's just something for the defense, you know, promoting the D-line and the linebackers getting sacks, front seven. And also we sell T-shirts at Saxonville.org. Ah. And every T-shirt sold, we donate sack lunches to kids in the area. So that's the other part of the sack. So it's a great deal. I can't even remember how many shirts we handed out or how many sack lunches we got last year, but it was a lot. It was great, and I'm excited to do it again this year. I can't wait to pass out those lunches.
You did that in San Francisco. Yes. And brought it over here. So Saxonville.org.
Yes.
You can buy the T-shirt. How much are the shirts?
I believe they are like $20.
Okay.
So not very expensive. It's a really nice shirt. It's a great company out in San Francisco that I worked with last year. They make a really nice shirt. We have shirts, hats, and headphones, and everything's available online.
We'll go to that for sure. Saxonville.org. There's a lot of guys on this team, especially in the back end right now, contributing because of all these injuries. But as the defense as a whole, what have you seen from the back end guys that have to come in those situations? You're down at the bottom of the depth chart right now with guys on the field towards the end of games. What does that say about the depth of this team right now?
I would say it's very good, and Peyton did a great job. I don't think he's ever played safety here. Yeah. So, you know, to come in and play and make some big time tackles on a guy like LeGarrette Blount, you know, breaking the line, is a tough thing to ask a guy to do right off the bat. So it was good to have him in and see that he can do some good things. I was telling him he's almost like a little Thomas back there, you know, little guy, but he can run around. So I was like, man, that might be something for you. Keep up with that. But he did a great job. Some of the other guys did a good job. Looking forward to seeing them grow.
The more you can do, I guess. You personally, the linebacker, you've been lining up a little bit in the pass rush. Comfortable so far here? A few weeks in now?
Yeah, I like what I've been doing. It's fun. I love pass rushing, so I'm excited to get in that and do that anytime I can. And I'm getting a better understanding every week of the type of things that I can do and how to work within the defense.
Sack week one for Dan Scuda. Let's go social media. What's your handle on social?
DScuda51 for Twitter and Instagram.
DScuda51. Check him out on social media.
Guess
let's go.
Probably change the 51.
You might want to, right? How do you do that? That's pretty easy.
I don't even know. Yeah, I got to get on there and check it out.
We've got somebody that could probably help you with that. Let's go to Twitter at Miguel19978. What's your favorite movie? Duval Till We Die from Portugal. Duval Ate More. I don't know about the pronunciation
on
that. I don't
know what that means, but
neither. What's your favorite movie?
I would say probably Gladiator.
I don't think I've seen that one.
You haven't seen Gladiator?
No. How old is that one?
I don't know, like, not that old. That's a really good movie.
Pretty new, huh?
Yeah, you should probably.
Is it like 300, kind of like that?
This is way better.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's your favorite. I've never seen that one. Instagram, Jags fan page asking, how are you loving the best city ever here in Jacksonville finally?
I am loving it. I live on the beach. I love the beach. You know, if you guys are ever out there, you'll catch me probably sitting Salt Life or something like that down there eating some crab legs. But, yeah, it's a really nice change to be able to live on the beach. I've never experienced that before, so I've really enjoyed that.
We'll finish with this one. Walker.TS asking, how does the loss against the Patriots motivate you and the Jaguars defense here?
Just to continue to get better, and like I said, everyone do their job, and it gives you more of a focus to worry about what you're doing and not try to do too much for the whole defense.
Let's finish with you here, Dan. You know, everything's still in front of this team after a couple of tough weeks. Week one, but bounce back in week two. Tough one last week in New England. But everything's still out in front here. Kind of calms a lot of people are worried about where this team's going to go. Why should everybody be calm and be ready for this team to play well on Sunday?
Well, I think we showed that we can bounce back well after week one, and I think we'll do that here. And, you know, there's a long season ahead of us, and I don't remember how many coach said there was, but there's a lot of teams sitting at 1 and 2 right now, So including our whole division, right?
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of football to be played, and we never know what we can do, so let's get out there and do it. You know, we need some support from you guys, so keep supporting.
Dan Skuda, good to see you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate your time. Dan Skuda joining us here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. Big Cat Convoy. Get to Jags games in style when the Jags return to EverBank Field. They'll be here in a few weeks to face the Houston Texans. Provides you with a game ticket and a free ride direct to the game and back from local bars and restaurants. Take the Big Cat Convoy and cruise over in style and avoid parking fees. And get your tickets now at Jaguars.com/convoy. The Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts this Sunday at 1 o'clock at Lucas Oil Stadium. Our thanks to John Osier a little earlier. You heard from Blake Bortles. And our thanks to Dan Skuda as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick, and this is Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank.